This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Mission, a congregation that seeks to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
A reading from the book of Acts. The apostles were brought in and made to appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name," he said. "Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood." Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than human beings. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
All right. Good morning again. This morning we're going to talk about courage. Talking about courage. And, there's no shortage, I'm sure, of inspirational quotes that I could use to begin my sermon about courage. But I only know of one quote about courage. And the reason why I know about it is because at our other location, Christ Church Overland Park, there's a men's room that is in the basement directly under, like, the sanctuary, the nave. And so I've, visited that bathroom every time before I go preach for 20 years. And there is a quote hanging on the wall that someone has put there. It's from John Wayne, apparently, and it says, "Courage is being scared to death, but saddling up anyway." So it's like blazed into my mind. The quote is fine, I guess. But I would be lying if I said that it hadn't, given me a little boost a couple of times. Like if I'm about to do like a pretty intimidating funeral or if there's a big crowd or something, there is something that was like, okay, I just got to face my fear, And so maybe you have your own favorite courage quote or something. If you want to send them to me in an email this week, that's fine. I think courage is something that there's a decent amount of like cultural awareness of. There's a lot of pop psychology around this idea of courage. And so I'm not going to cover all that today. But we're really, as a church, going to kind of zero in on one particular group of courageous people in the Bible. This morning we're starting a new series that focuses on the book of Acts, And so we're going to be using those readings. There's a set of prescribed readings that we use as a church for many months of the year, and we've been in the gospel readings for a very long time. That's the reading that we always do from out there, but we are switching now to reading, to kind of focusing in our sermons on the first reading, which will be from Acts. And so if you're a regular here, you'll know, like, perk up a little bit more for this reading especially. You're going to want to be a little more aware of that one because that's what we're going to be preaching on. And I love that we're preaching on Acts because, as a church, we have been following Jesus for the last, 7 months or something. Since before Christmas even, we were, like, looking at the person of Jesus, waiting for his arrival, his birth, his growth, his ministry, and then most recently in Lent, the path to his suffering and death, and then most recently, his resurrection. And so I think that begs the question, if you want to like track the story of Jesus and God's people, then it's like, well, what next? What happened after that? And that's what we're going to look at as a church. Like, what did happen after Jesus' resurrection? What was the aftermath of all that? And we'll spend about 6 or 7 weeks doing that. And today, we're going to be talking, like I said, about courage. I think it's helpful to, when we look at those early Christians, to try to learn from them. Like, what characterized them? What was God doing in and through them? How can we glean something from them? And today, that topic is going to be on courage. In the aftermath of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, those early Christians had inspiring courage. Peter and the apostles were just going around proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ anywhere and everywhere, and even in the face of the leaders who had Jesus killed. That is courage. All those early Christians were like forging a new type of society. They were like making a new community that ran countercultural against like the values of the day. They were building a life based on like acceptance and generosity rather than power and allegiance. That takes courage. Our reading today was from Acts 5, and even in those first five chapters of the book of Acts, these early Christians have already been imprisoned multiple times. They've been threatened with violence, that if they keep sharing God's news, they will be in trouble. And they just keep right on at it with courage. And remember that those early disciples did not know how their story would end. What they did know is what the leaders of the day were capable of. They had just seen it in Jesus a few weeks before. And they wondered to themselves, they puzzled, I'm sure, about whether they would meet the same fate that Jesus did. And it turns out, actually, that the answer is yes, mostly. Many of them did meet that same fate, but they did so with courage. Let's start with a little, like a baseline of what courage is. What do we mean when we talk about courage? I think that there are three primary ingredients that add up to courage. The first is a choice. You know, there has to be essentially an act of choice in courage. You wouldn't define something as courage if you were forced to do it. That wouldn't be an inherently courageous act. Courage cannot be forced or coerced. It has to be chosen. That's ingredient one. Ingredient two is risk. There has to be some risk for something to be courage. That there's some danger or fear. That's like that silly John Wayne quote. You know, it's like being scared to death, knowing that there's a real threat out in front of you. That courage, according to John Wayne, I guess, is that it doesn't mean the absence of fear. In fact, it probably means the presence of fear. There is some real risk, some price that you are either going to pay or that you are willing to pay. So choice, risk, and then the third thing, though, is like what I'd call principle. Meaning if you just have choice and risk, then you might say the most courageous thing you could do would be just any risky thing. You know, going about like doing the most extreme risky thing, but that's not what courage is. Courage stands on values and principles. There's something undergirding and inspiring your choice and your willing to risk. There's some code or value that inspires you to be bold in the face of opposition. And that is what those early Christians, those early disciples had. Let's revisit that reading just for a second. You know, the apostles here are brought before the Sanhedrin, which is like the highest religious court in the land. And they are standing in the exact same place that Jesus had stood only weeks before, moments before he was crucified. And the high priest says to Peter and the apostles, like, it is time for you to close your mouths about this Jesus. And Peter and the other apostles answer in this way. They said, we must obey God rather than man. The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his right hand as prince and savior that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. So the chief priests are just, their blood is boiling at that point, at Peter and the apostles' response. And the text tells us that in that moment, they decide, that's it. We will dispose of these Christian leaders here and now. They resolved to have them killed. And if you read just a little bit farther, you would read that if not for one singular voice of a man named Gamaliel that said, hey, actually, why don't we just let it be? And if it's not from God, then it'll go away. But if it is from God, then we're not going to be able to stop it anyway. What if we just let these guys go? And that's the only reason why Peter and the others continued on. It's the only reason why they weren't disposed of. And then we were reading about some other way that God spread his message throughout the world. But the point here is that the disciples had enormous courage. Choice plus risk plus principle. And I want to pause to just like apply that, you know, like in what ways do we crave courage? In what areas of our lives are we like desiring some courage to face something that we fear? We all face real fear and uncertainty and anxiety, and we crave some kind of power to stand up to it, to stand boldly before the things that scare us, and to find courage to face them. Courage to take sometimes just a step or a couple of steps forward. Courage to believe and to trust in the face of danger and doubt. We all, I think, crave courage. And whether that thing rushes to your mind now of like, yes, I know exactly what that is, that situation in my workplace or in my family or in my faith, like in my heart or in my relationships, what if you can locate that or not, that's okay. I'd invite you to ponder that question of what do I need courage? And then apply, if you can, these truths that we learn from this passage, from these disciples, about how to have courage to face what we fear. So where does this courage come from? How do we access some of what those disciples had? I think that there are many ways to answer that question, but I'll locate two of them that are found in Peter's response to those chief priests. When he retorts to them, I think he gives us a clue of what makes him so courageous to obey God rather than man. First is something that they believed, like a framework, a doctrine, if you will. They believed in resurrection. Peter and those early Christians believed in resurrection. Peter and the apostles, when told, essentially, shut up or we will kill you, said, kill us? Kill us? Like, I mean, his answer is, don't you understand that we just saw the God of the universe die? And then God pulled him up out of the ground and exalted him to his right hand? Like, chief priests, I'm sorry, but kill us? Don't you see that everything has now changed? We've seen firsthand, we are witnesses, he says, to this truth that like even the worst possible thing that we could imagine, the Son of God being brutally murdered, God just takes that and turns it into the greatest victory that the world has ever seen. So kill us? I'm sorry, but that is what it's enabled Christians to like, especially those early Christians, to go to their death singing God's praises and forgiving everyone that was killing them. They believed that truth of the resurrection had gotten deep into their hearts, into their brains, you know, such that it emboldened them. It gave them such courage to know that even this terrible, if God can take this thing, Jesus's death, and turn it into a victory, then man, I've got courage for days. Because he can take my tragedy and my fear and turn it into something amazing. And so I throw that to you and say, like, that situation, like, in your life, like, hold tight to the truth of the resurrection. That God can take tragedy and turn it into victory somehow, despite all odds, okay? That's the first thing. They clung to their belief in the resurrection. Secondly, the second thing that emboldened and empowered their courage was who they followed. Jesus Christ, of course. They found, those early disciples found Jesus to be the model, the quintessential model of courage. And I don't know if we've ever, I don't know if you've ever thought about Jesus in those terms. Like, is Jesus courageous? But I think the text makes it very clear that Peter and the disciples would say, absolutely. And here's where I get that. Peter says, this Jesus Christ whom you died, whom you killed, he's raised and exalted as Prince and Savior. And that word Prince is what I want to zoom in on. That word Prince, it's only used four times in the whole Bible. Twice here in Acts and twice in the book of Hebrews. And it's a very, it always is referencing Jesus Christ. And it's a very hard word to translate. In fact, the Hebrews passage translates it as captain, okay? And this one does prince. And so it's like, clearly there's like, what are they trying to get at there? And the word, like, literally translated means arch-ego, which it would be, in our popular nomenclature, would be the word hero, basically. That Peter and his disciple, or Jesus' disciples, those early Christian leaders, like, looked to Jesus as a hero, meaning the one with all the courage. They saw Jesus as this courageous hero. So when it came to trying to locate courage in themselves, they needed look no farther than Jesus Christ. But here's the thing about Jesus' courage. Jesus' courage was so rarely predicated on his power. Jesus' courage, his most courageous acts, were not acts of great power, like kind of wielding strength and might against his foes. Jesus' courage most often took the path of letting go of power, not pulling it in and exercising it. Christ's courage involved a surrender of power, losing power, not gaining it. And I think that's super helpful. If you want more courage in your life, I think that is a super helpful thing to zone in on. Because if you want to find courage, then I think that there are two really helpful things that you can do. The first is what I'd call assurance, okay? Meaning that you tell yourself, I've got this. Yeah, I'm scared of this thing, but, like, I can do this. I will succeed at this task that is, like, terrifying me. That's one way to find courage. And it's actually a very helpful way. Like, I think that works a lot of the time. Many of you know that I have these, like, regular and unpredictable panic attacks. It's a part of my life. And so that means that I need to locate at least a little bit of courage every time, like every Sunday morning, because it's like kind of it's difficult for me. I have to find some courage just to get up here every Sunday. And one of the ways that I've been able to locate that courage is that what I'd call assurance, meaning I'm like looking myself in the mirror, you know, and I'm like, Dean, you've got this, you know, like, you can do this, like, you'll succeed. If you ever, like, catch me in the men's room on Sunday morning, I'm not doing that, I promise. But it would be funny if you saw me, like, giving myself a pep talk. But that has been helpful to me. It actually has been helpful to, like, remind myself that I, you know, can succeed. But there is another way to find courage. And that is through what I would call surrender and hope. And that has actually been far more helpful for me in finding courage than even assurance has. What I mean by that is what has helped me the most to locate courage is not to say, Dean, you've got this, but to say, Dean, maybe you don't. You know? Dean, maybe you actually will lose this fight against fear and not succeed and not not win. That it's very possible, at the Dean, you know, even if you do succeed today, maybe you won't next week, you know? And critically, here's the point. And even if that happens, Christ, like that is Christ's courage. Not to always look yourself in the mirror and say, you've got this, you can succeed, but to open your hands and say, even if I fail at whatever is scaring me, even if what is terrifying me overcomes me rather than me overcoming it, that I will be in good company with the Lord of heaven and earth, because that was his courage, to open his hands and to surrender and to hope. And so for you, I exhort you to cling to that kind of hope too. A kind of open-handed, surrendering belief and hope that even if you do, even if what scares you overcomes you, that you will find Christ there. And that his presence and care will be for you, even in seeming defeat. Okay, I want to close with this. There's a prayer that we're praying here at Christ Church Mission at the end of every service in this Easter season, the 7-8 week season. It's from the Book of Common Prayer, and it's called like the Prayer for Strength, or the Prayer for Courage, you could say. And there's I'm going to pray a couple lines from that prayer now, but there's a phrase that the prayer uses that I love. It says, steel us, meaning like harden us, Lord, with boldness and courage. Will you steel us, God? Will you fortify us in our weakness? Okay, I'm going to close with this prayer. Lord, banish our fears. Make us bold to praise you and to do your will. And steel us to wait for the consummation of your kingdom on the last great day through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.